But it's it is so nice to be here, and so many familiar faces here today. And a bit about us. I'm married. My wife is somewhere with our kids, and we've been married for 11 years. We have three kids, a five-year-old, a four-year-old, and a two-year-old. And we had them all kind of bunched right together, three under three at one stage. And so that's been a whole lot of fun. And I do a couple of things. My wife and I, we were youth pastors at the Meadows Church down in the Kapiti Coast for about 11 and a half years under a pastor by the name of John Steele, John and Julie Steele, and then under the pastor Adam and Anita White. And about a year and a half ago, we just felt God just lay on our hearts to take a bit of a faith step and go full-time in youth missions here in New Zealand. And so we've stepped into that, and we wear two hats. We're the National Youth Directors for New Life Youth. So we're a movement of 93 different churches throughout the country. And so Ben and I, we're like cousins, I suppose. He heads out the AOG, and I get the privilege of doing the New Life Youth. And we're also involved in an organization called New Generation. And basically that's reaching young people in high schools. And our whole mission is basically inspire, resource, and support Christian students as they make the gospel available in high schools as well. So that's early stages of doing that in New Zealand, and that's a little bit what we're about. Hey, but what I want to share this morning is and I've entitled this, if you're taking notes, Reaching the Next Generation. Everyone say the next generation. And when we talk about that, it's not just, you know, older people reaching youth. I believe when we're reaching the next generation, everyone can reach a generation just below them. You know, say you're 60, you can reach the next generation of 50s coming through. If you're 13, you aren't just the next generation. There's a whole generation below you that's actually coming through. And so why don't we just open this morning in prayer. Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that Father, you're in this place. I thank you for, God, what you're doing in this church. And Father, I just pray today as I share, Father, it wouldn't be my words, but Father, be you speaking, God, to our hearts this morning. I thank you for, God, the legacy in this church. I thank you for the influence that this church has over the whole AOG movement, Father, youth movements throughout this whole country. And Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence here in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hey, well, I guess when we're talking about reaching the next generation, we're talking about the next generation that's coming through. And my whole life was changed by someone actually reaching out to me. I got saved at a Brethren camp in Rotorua. And basically it was 1995. I was at Rangitoto College. And my friend Mick, were in the playground one afternoon. And he just turned to me and he said, "Hey, Sam, do you want to go to a camp, a Christian camp?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I really want to go to a Christian camp," because I've gone to so many of these camps before growing up. And he just turned to me and he just said, "Sam, you know, there's going to be girls there." And, you know, me being from an all-boys school, you know, girls were like another, you know, whole species. And so I thought, yeah, I'll go to this camp. And I remember going to this camp, and basically, you know, they had all these camp rules, and, you know, there's always one or two at camps that break all the rules. We didn't have any at this camp this weekend that broke the rules. They were angels, parents. They were awesome. But I was one of those kids who just broke the rules. I bucked the trend, and I basically got in a whole lot of trouble at this camp. And the whole camp found out about it, and, you know, I was really embarrassed. And I remember an older man, a guy by the name of Terry, he basically reached down to me, and he got alongside me, and he said some words to me, which as a 15-year-old, I've remembered my whole life, and they had a massive impact on me. He just simply said, "Sam, look, I don't even know you, but we here as adults, we actually really care for you young fellas coming through. And we don't want you to make the same mistakes that, you know, we made when we were young." And he helped me get back on the path, get back on the straight and narrow. And that one meeting with this guy snowballed into me actually accepting Christ and sticking with it. An older man who I didn't even know reaching down. And when we're talking about, you know, reaching the next generation, it's a really interesting thing, because, you know, stepping into some missionary stuff with youth missions, missions is such a fascinating topic. In the book of, there's an author by the name of Mark A. Knoll, and he wrote a book called The Shape of New World Christianity. And this is what he writes about the last 100 years. He said in the early 1900s lived 71% of professing Christians. Guess where they lived in the world? Europe. 71% lived in Europe. But by the end of the 1900s, that figure was 28% lived in Europe. They're actually all moving like right across this planet. You know, we've got the largest geographical change right now happening in terms of the Christian faith in world history. I mean, right now, do you know there's actually more people meeting in communist China than in some of our Western churches? In fact, there's one article I read, I'd put up on the screen if I had that with me, but they reckon in China, communist China, the number of Christians has grown so rapidly that by the year 2030, they reckon in China there'll be more people going to church than in America. Pretty incredible, eh? And I reckon that's an incredible victory for missions, and especially for a country like New Zealand, who we've been involved in sending so many missionaries off overseas. And I reckon that's something to thank God for, and something to be incredibly proud of. However, there's actually a whole another side to this. While we've been taking so much ground elsewhere, we've been losing some ground here at home in New Zealand, and especially amongst the younger generation, where it's said that approximately, and these stats, they sort of, as youth pastors, they sort of break our hearts sometimes, but they reckon 80% are said to leave the church between the ages of 18 to 20. You know, those young guys up here that we're praying for, that was such a powerful prayer time. And as we're praying for those guys, they're not going to be one of those statistics that fall away from the Lord, amen. They're going to be one of those people who actually go on and actually have influence in those places. But the stats, they're throwing this out, the 80% are leaving. So we're losing a lot of the next generation actually before their 21st birthday. In New Zealand, church attendance 1960 was, guess how many percent of the population? Does anyone know? They reckon it was 20% of the population went to church every week, and 40% went monthly. So that was classed as, you know, going regular. By the year 2000, 40 years later, this is actually halved. 10% go weekly. They reckon about 20% go monthly. And while there's some tremendous growth in, you know, many of our Pentecostal churches, which is fantastic, right across the board in the body of Christ, if nothing drastic happens, some people are saying, look, in 25 years' time, our churches could be 65% of the population will be over 65. How many know there's nothing wrong with being over 65? Amen? when you're over 65, it brings stability. The older generation brings wisdom. And it brings experience. But after 25 years, we could be in danger of losing the next generation. And that might seem drastic, and I don't mean to put a bit of a downer, you know, on this morning at all, but I just want to throw it out there. This is the state of what's going on out there. And there is a whole unreached new ethnic group in our nation. And guess where they are? On a Friday night, they're just wandering the streets. You know, they're going to our parties. They're in our neighborhoods. They're in our schools. They're in our universities. But, you know, I believe God is calling us as youth ministries, as churches, to reach this next generation. Simply as that. We can all play a part in reaching the next generation. You know, whether we like young people or not. God's called us all to reach down to the generation that's actually coming through. And so what I want to do in the next few minutes that we've got together is just share a few thoughts, you know, on what are some of the things that we can do as leaders. And a leader is simply someone who has influence over someone, and everyone has influence over someone. What can we do to reach the next generation, you know, in our youth communities and in our neighborhoods, all right? This good? All right, so first thing is simply this. I reckon the next generation, especially those actually under 30, they simply want to know that you care.
They want to know you're the real deal. The Bible says this, John 15, verse 12. John 15, verse 12. Can I drink this water? Is this for me? Awesome. I want to drink someone else's water. Is it clean? It's nice, actually. Whanganui water is quite nice. Oh, because it's out of a bottle? Oh. What is it really? Does it come from the river? No, it doesn't, eh? Oh, I was thinking about going for a swim in the river, but you don't swim in the river here, do you? You do? Oh, we swam in the lake yesterday, actually. That was nice. All my clothes smell now that we're in the lake, actually. It's nice. Anyway, okay, John 15, verse 12, it says this. This is my commandment. It's such a simple verse. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. You know, I shared a story at the youth conference a number of months back. Basically, in 1985, from the New Life movement, and we had a young missionary couple by the name of Tom and Lizier from Littleton. They basically boarded a plane for the nation of Fiji. And without many, contacts, without, much experience, without a whole lot of money, they actually really didn't know what they were doing. They jumped on a plane and went to Fiji to plant one of our first New Life churches in that nation. And basically, they went and it was just hard going. You know, it was just hard to plant and hard to get the thing going. Then they had the whole, 1987 coup, which didn't actually help the population much at all. But as a result of their efforts, slowly things just began to take off. And as a result of them going over, churches right throughout those islands were planted in the nation of Fiji, and a whole generation where literally thousands of young people would be impacted with the gospel occurred. I had the privilege last May of speaking at a New Life youth conference in Fiji. A pastor just rang me up and said, "Hey Sam, would you go to Fiji?" And I'd never been to Fiji before. I'd been to like the South Island. But I hadn't really been, to somewhere really nice like Fiji. And, how many know when you get a call to Fiji, it's not like you have to go away and pray about it. It's just like, yeah, I'll go to Fiji. No, I did pray about it. But I was really pumped because I'd never gone to that part of the world before. And so we went over, brought a couple of youth pastors and a whole lot of young adults with us. And, the Fiji we went to, wasn't like, you see in the brochures with, the big, the resorts and the pools and stuff like that. We went to a beautiful island called Tavanui, and, we roughed it in the villages, and I reckon that was the most authentic experience we had, and I absolutely loved it. And it was a bit of a culture shock, because every night I'd be sleeping in this room, and you could hear everything, and basically in the middle of the night, you just hear like little footsteps, like running across like the beams in the room. And I was trying to work out what the footsteps were, and then woke up the next night and saw all these like animals underneath where we're staying. And basically Fijian rats every night would just kind of run along the beams and run between our beds and stuff, like massive things. You go to the bathroom or be in the shower, and like there'd be literally like 10, 15 geckos like with these massive eyes just like staring, down here. Every morning, the roosters, because they have like just roosters all everywhere, they'd just be like, and like wake everybody up at 4 a.m. in the morning. You'd just be like, "Hey, awesome chicken, I'm going to eat you for dinner tonight." In fact, every night we had to, those mosquito coils, we had to put those out because people would literally died from dengue fever several weeks before, arriving to Fiji. So it wasn't like, the resorts that you think it would be like. It was such a different Fiji, but I absolutely loved it. And I remember just on the Tuesday night, I was just in the youth meeting and just sharing with the young people. And this older gentleman comes up to me, and he just started telling me his story. And basically, as a young man, a young teenager, he lived on the streets in Fiji. He was homeless. And as a result of his choices, he ended up in prison, and then out of prison, then he would go back to prison, then he would be out of prison. And he had a massive, massive drinking problem. In fact, he'd drink so much that he wouldn't just get drunk, but he'd go to that next stage, which is called, being paralytic. and he'd drink so much, he'd end up on the road in Fiji, you know, like on the main highway. He'd walk along, and then he would just decide, why don't I just go to sleep? He'd go to sleep on the main highway. Cars would be, you know, diverting around him and everything like that. And basically, an older person saved his life. An older gentleman who happened to be a youth pastor literally just picked him up off the road and put him in the gutter. I mean, not a nice place to put someone, but he took him off the road, and he actually did that twice and, you know, saved his life, just reached down to him and picked him up. He kept on going, and he just told me the story how his life changed, where one day he was just walking alongside a Fijian cliff, and he fell from probably where that the light is right to the bottom, just kind of fell down, boom, and just cracked something in his back, and he ended up in hospital, paralyzed. And he just said to me, he said, you know, it was in the hospital that I first saw the love of Christ. Older people from the church just started coming, bring me food, bring me water. And they actually just started loving on me and praying for me. And it was at that moment where these guys showed me love that I actually realized who this God was that these guys served. And God got a hold of this young man's life and changed him not only on the inside spiritually, but he also regained the ability to walk. You know, his name's Peter, and why did that happen? Well, because in 1985, Tom and Liz Eyre cared enough to actually obey the call of God to reach another generation. And now this young man, Peter, is doing the same. In fact, he shared with me, he said, Sam, I'm actually a senior pastor now. I oversee all these churches. In fact, I do what you do in Fiji. I oversee all the young people in our whole region. You know, young people simply want to know, I reckon, that we care, that we love them. Amen? Second thought this morning is be outward looking. You know, look outwards. So simple. Acts 1 verse 8 says this, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and I love it how it's not dependent on us, but it's actually dependent on, you know, God in us, you know, Christ in us. When he comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. You know, in our work with high schools, we're so privileged to actually see young people take steps of faith in their school to reach other students. It was about 3 years ago in Manurewa College up in Auckland, and a girl called Sandra was on the school field, you know, running her new generation group, her lunchtime Christian group. And the reason why they're on the field that day is because they couldn't get a classroom where they would usually meet. And so what they decided to do is, hey, let's just have a meeting on the field. And there they are on the field having a meeting. And because they're on the field in a little circle, all the other students, they're kind of like, you know, what's going on here? It's a bit of a kind of weird kind of circle thing in the middle of the field. And so a few more students, they come around and stand behind these guys. And, you know, Sarah is just kind of sitting there and doing a Bible study and like leading it. And then a whole lot more people kind of come around this circle. And she kind of looks up and she's got like a captive audience. She's like, oh my goodness, all these people in my school are like listening to what I got to say. And she finishes her devotional and she's like, what do I do now? You know, because she's only like a 15-year-old girl. And she thinks to herself, well, what does my youth pastor do? Well, every single meeting that finishes, he always does an altar call. So why don't I do one of those? But she'd never done one before. So she sort of just looked up at this group in her school and was like, hi, guys. Is there anyone here today? I know it's lunchtime and I was going to go soon. Is there anyone here, you've been listening to what I've been saying, that would love to give your life to Christ today? And kind of like the group looks back at her. And it's one of those really awkward moments where no one says anything. And the girl's saying, oh, can someone say something? And nothing happens. And so she just waits. And this big guy, like a 16, 17-year-old guy, just kind of, he just looks up. And he says, yep, I want to do that today. And then the guy next to him, he kind of looks at his mate. And he's like, you know what, I actually need to give my life to Christ today as well. You know, and that school field that day, you know, 13 young people at Manurewa College, you know, made a decision for faith. You know, why? Because this girl stepped out to reach a generation below her. And, you know, when I hear stories like that, I am so encouraged. And I guess as the older generation, let's inspire them to keep being outward looking. Say to the young people at camp, guys, go for it. You know, you guys can do it. You're in high school, which I reckon is actually the world's best mission field. You don't have to spend $10,000 to go to Europe for a year to be a missionary, although that's quite cool if you get the opportunity to do that. You can actually do it right here in your backyard. So inspire young people to be outward looking. Third thing today, and final point, is take a chance. I reckon take a chance on the next generation. Why should we take a chance on the next generation? Well, because someone actually took a chance on us, you know, when we were young. You know, I reckon give people a chance. Like get young people involved in what you're doing. I mean, love seeing young people just praying into the offering this morning, you know, getting them involved in our services and you know, what we're doing. What happens if it doesn't work out? What if we get young people up and, you know, they get involved in kids ministry and they just bomb out? Well, maybe the solution to that is just don't put them on the roster for a little while, you know, and let them learn as they go. But you never know until you try. One of the things I've always enjoyed doing is emceeing different you know, music events and things like that. I just really enjoy introducing bands that I actually don't even know who they are, but I just like introducing them because everyone out there knows who they are. And over the years, my wife and I have had the privilege of, you know, emceeing Parachute Music Festival for about 7 years, and we, you know, we got to oversee the team and develop the things like that. And I just really enjoyed doing that sort of work. But it all actually started because someone, you know, took a chance on me. I remember my first year as a youth pastor, John Steele, who's one of the prophets, you know, in our movement. He took a chance on this brand new youth pastor and his associate pastor Adam White. They got Sam Bailey, been in the role for about 3 months, to MC his first service, Sunday service. And you know, back in those days, I was pretty green in ministry, and our congregation is very multicultural, like right across the different cultures. And as a young fellow, I got up after the worship. The guys transitioned. I had big, long, white, spiky hair back in those days, like straight up. I used a product called Ice Spiker, and I looked like a porcupine or something like that. And I remember getting up, and I thought as a young MC, it would be really cool to try and say good morning in everybody's native languages. But how many know that if you don't get it right or you don't pronounce it right, it can actually be very offensive in many different cultures. It's not funny at all. I remember getting up, and the worship was this amazing anointed moment. And here I come out on the stage, and I thought I'd try my Māori welcome. And I was like, tins of koko, tēnā koutou, tamariki mā. And it was absolutely terrible. And everyone was just sitting there going, Sam, what on earth are you doing? And like John and Julie Steele and the associate pastor were kind of like looking at each other going, who got this guy up there? And they were like, oh, it was us, wasn't it? and it was one of those moments where I kind of just broke every sort of anointing that might have actually been there. And that moment is now used as an example of what not to do when we have our MC training. And I didn't get put back on the church roster for over 2 years from that point. So they finally let me back on. But here's the thing, I guess, when you take a chance on young people, it might not work out the first time. But I reckon we should take a chance on young people anyway, because they're the future church. You know, they're the future generation. And just as I close, I guess it's the small things that make such a difference. You know, you might be asking me, Sam, so what do you want me to do? You know, are you saying, hey, from here, why don't I be like a youth mentor? Do I have to like start riding a skateboard? I mean, how many over 40 would love to start skating after the service? Yeah, I'm not saying we have to start skating or like download hip hop on iTunes and start, you know, listening to that. I don't think that would help anybody. But I guess what I am saying is it's about the small things. It's about simply, it's about being generous in our attitude. It's about, you know, speaking positively about the young people in our church, believing that the young people are one of the greatest assets that we have in our church. It's simply just smiling at them, like just going, hey, you know, just saying hi, you know, giving them a hug if it's not, you know, weird or inappropriate, but just giving them a hug and just getting alongside them and just saying, hey, how you guys doing? Maybe even asking like the youth pastor and the youth leaders, is there anything I can do to help? Because often it's one of the areas in church where it can be one of the most thankless jobs. It's sending the youth pastor a text message after the service saying, we believe in you guys. We think you guys are tremendous. Because I reckon it's not necessarily that young people need a whole heap of our time these days. But I reckon young people actually need an attitude to be for them. Amen? You know, it's about the small things. So how do we champion the next generation? Well, number one, I think they want to know that we care. Number two, inspire them to be outward looking. Number three, take a chance on them. And I reckon it's the small things that make a difference. Amen? Amen. Why don't we just pray? Father, I thank you for God, who you are. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you cause change in us. I thank you, Father, that, God, even with things like Youth of a Nation, even, God, the youth initiatives that are happening out of this city and out of this church, I pray, God, you continue just to really breathe on those things. And, God, I pray, help us, Father, to see that next generation, such a vital key, Father, to your future church. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that, God, even right now, you would just, maybe even just lay it on our hearts, young people, God, that we can see, young people that we can champion. And maybe if just the keys could just come up, or maybe one of the guitars just come up as I'm praying today. Father, I thank you that God, you're in control. And Father, I just really pray, God, we would be people after your heart when it comes to the next generation. And what I'd just love to do, just as I close and as we finish, is I'd love just to take a moment where we just stand together. And if you're comfortable with this, maybe actually just do something really practical. And that's actually pray for the next generation. And perhaps there's someone just around you who's a little bit younger than you. Why don't we just take a moment, if you're cool with it, just maybe just lay your hand on them and just ask them their name. Say, hey, look, would you mind if I just prayed for you right now that God would favor you, that God would use you? I just want to tell you, look, I'm praying for you, I'm championing you, I'm believing that, hey, you're going to do great in life. God's going to use you in mighty and powerful ways. So maybe just wherever you are, just put your hand on someone right next to you. Why don't we just all stand? Just stand to our feet as we do this. And let's just spend just a minute or two and just introduce ourselves and just say, would you mind if I just prayed for you? You might be 60 and there's a 50-year-old sitting right next to you. Just pray for them. And let's just stand together, because I believe when we stand together and reaching the generations, amazing things can happen. Amen? Amen. Why don't we just do that now?